Revelation 5 verse 4 says, I cried and cried because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside it. Now John, a man, he is crying. And you might think that's the odd thing. But it's not odd to see a man crying. Lots of men cry. Unless you're the type of man that has like the dust in your eye kind of crying, you know. But that's not the weird thing. The weird thing is where he's crying and why he's crying. Remember, the curtain has been pulled back. And John has been shown a peak of heaven. Now, heaven is supposed to be a place where there are no tears and no sadness. And, you know, here is John, and he's sad, he's crying. You know, heaven and sadness is like salt on your Cocoa Pops, isn't it? The two just don't mix. But here he is, and he's crying. So what's going on? Well, then it tells us why he's crying. Because a search had been made for someone to carry out God's mission. That's what the scroll's all about. And no one in all creation could take the scroll and open it. The scroll was the mission document of God. It was God's plan. Now, surely you say, there are 6 billion of us on this planet. Surely there's someone amongst all of those 6 billion people who could do this job. And the answer is a big no. No one. No one can do it. Listen, two lines before verse 4, it says this. A massive angel comes on, right? He's a big Paul Whitfield. He's pulling the. Is he here this morning? It's a big angel, okay? And he says this. He shouts at the top of his lungs, "Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll?" And then the answer comes back. No one in heaven, or on earth, or under the earth, could be found to open the scroll or even look inside it. No one can be found. This is Mission Impossible. This really is Mission Impossible. Not like the film Mission Impossible, where actually it really is Mission Possible because the bloke saves the day in the end, doesn't he? Yeah? This really is Mission Impossible. And that is why John is crying. Now, why is he crying? What's the big deal here? And here's why. The big deal is because of this. The name of the mission. What the mission is all about. Now, I've called the name of the mission Operation No More Tears. All right? Wouldn't it be great to live in a world with no more tears? No more whiny children. I mean, you know, no more sadness, right? Or no more whiny adults, for a matter of fact. You know, there's plenty of them around, isn't there? Now, you might say that, hold on a second here, if all it is, you know, Operation No More Tears, then why can't we just, you know, go buy a whole bunch of Kleenex tissues and hand them out instead of, you know, Narnia tracts? Or what about if maybe we sing some happy campfire songs? Won't that do it? And the answer's no. Well, hold on a minute. Maybe we can raise some money. We can all get together and we can have a big charity night and we can all raise some money. Won't that help? Well, maybe a little bit. We could even put on a big rock concert. We could get the band up and they could do 15 verses of Who's the King of the Jungle? See how that gets on. No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And here's why. See, there's two big problems. There's two big problems. And they both have to do with crying. They both have to do with tears. Here's the first one. Tears come by us. Tears come by us. We make people cry. That's what I'm saying. Yeah? And secondly, tears come from us. Tears come by us and tears come from us. They're the two big problems. Now, let's think about the first one. Tears come by us. What do I mean about that? Well, when was the last time you made someone cry? Think about it. You might have to not think too hard. Especially dads. They're great at this. Yeah? I bet you've done it recently. Now, you maybe even done it this morning to your brother or your sister. I've done it loads. And you only have to talk to my kids to know that I've done it loads. But, you know, we are... we're spiteful, aren't we? We could be really spiteful and really mean and selfish. And that's what makes people cry. That's what I mean by saying tears come by us. We are the cause of many tears. And you might think, well, that's not. Is it really that big of a deal? I'm a bit selfish. I'm a bit of a moody character occasionally. I'm a bit snappy. But you know, every sin starts small, just like a seed, and it grows into a horrible, big weedy tree. Now, and you know, it really shows us what we're like on the inside, and that's where the trouble is. The trouble is with our hearts, and it's just like. In the Narnia story, we meet a man called a boy called Edmund, don't we? Edmund, do you remember how he treats his sister Lucy? He's mean to her, isn't he? He's horrible to her. He lies about finding Narnia. Says, "Oh, she's just making it up." And he laughs at her when she's crying. He's really mean. And not only that, that's where it starts. But then Edmund, we find, we as we get to know him a bit more, we find that he gives in to temptation. And then he finally shows himself to be a traitor and a rebel. And that's what we're like. That's what the Bible says we're like. That's why C.S. Lewis wrote the character of Edmund, so that we could see ourselves in that story. Sin, here's the thing. Sin has overcome us, and we have become its follower. Now, part of God's mission for Operation No More Tears is to make everything that's wrong right again. Yeah? And that's a great thing. That means that one day God is going to put everything right. He's going to hold everybody to account. He's going to say, "You lied. Now you have to pay for it." He's going to say, "You murdered, you cheated, you stealed, you stole." You're gonna, you know, you can't get away with that. And if he did let it get away, if he just held onto that scroll on his throne and said, "Actually, just stick it behind me, I'll sit on it, or I'll stick it under the rug," he can't do that. He wouldn't be God, would he? He wouldn't be a very nice God if he just ignored sin and didn't bring any justice into the world. Now. Let me use a phrase on you. Have you ever heard the phrase "put the world to rights"? You ever heard that phrase before? You might normally hear it when two people, in my experience, not saying this for everybody, but in my experience, they normally older ladies who like to talk. Now that's a stereotype, but I've heard it many times. Normally, you know. We're going to put the world to rights today, you know. They're two people that, they don't have to be women, they're two people that haven't seen each other in a long time, and they get together to have a good old chinwag, and then they put the world to rights, which means they set things straight. They give their judgment on all the things they think are wrong, and it's usually people that they put right. Well, people apart from themselves anyway. Now, think about these two people when they're having their chinwag. And they can't put the world to rights. They can't do it for the whole world, can they? And it's because, well, one, they wouldn't have time. But secondly, they are part of the world. They're part of the problem. And it's like the saying when you get a smart aleck that said, you know, you point at them and they go, "Well, don't point at me because there's three fingers pointing back at you," isn't there? But it's true. We can't sort the problem out. You can't point the finger because there's fingers pointing back at you. You can't put the world to rights because you're in the world. You're part of the problem. And the Bible is very strong when it comes to what we're like. That's why the Bible can't just be a human book, by the way, because no human would ever write a book that points the finger so devastatingly at itself. It's a very honest book. No, we're part of the problem. We hurt people, and most of all, we hurt God. Now, we're part of this world, and that deserves to be put to rights. Yeah. And that's what I mean by saying tears come by us. But secondly, and really quickly, everybody cries, don't they? Babies cry. Little boys and girls cry. Even big boys sometimes cry. And even though it's been said that big girls don't cry, They actually do. We know that. Most people cry, and we cry because the world is full of sadness. And maybe that's not putting it strong enough either. The world seems to be losing the battle against death, doesn't it? We live in a world where death always wins and evil seems to triumph. Think about this. You've got your Superman, your Spider-Man, you've got your Avengers. Where do they exist? Who likes the Avengers, by the way? I love the Avengers. Okay, let's have a quick vote. Spider-Man, Superman, Avengers. Definitely Avengers. Right. Now, think about these people we love. Where do they exist? They exist in imagination, don't they? They exist in a fantasy land. But we want them so badly to be real, don't we? That's why little boys and sometimes big boys dress up like them. We so badly want them to be real. But they're not real. No matter how hard we try to make things happy, in the end, things die and people die. And I don't want to say this to be horrible or depressing, but that's just how the world is. Now, you know, that's what I mean by saying tears come from us. Now, maybe this is another reason why John is crying in this verse. See? Cried and cried. He didn't just cry, he cried and cried. He bawled his eyes out. Maybe that's why John was crying. Imagine a world where, you know, there is no Ethan Hunt, there's no Jack Bauer, there's no Luke Skywalker. Some of you would be really upset about that, wouldn't you? Imagine there's a world where there's no heroes. Actually, you don't have to imagine it. We live in it. People carry out wicked acts and get away with it. Justice hardly never gets done. We need our heroes to be real, don't we? We so badly need a hero to stop the tears that come from us. And that's what the Christian message is about. That's why the Christian message is so amazing, so wonderful. You know, John, he's crying. He's heard a big, massive, mighty angel. The angel couldn't even do it. He's heard the angel say, "Is anyone good enough? Is anyone pure enough? Is anyone can anyone carry out God's mission?" And John is in tears because no one is found. There's no creature in the universe that's true enough to put everything right. There's no one to sort out the tears that come by us. There's no one loving and powerful enough to rescue us, to stop and sort out the tears that come from us. What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to sing a song. Okay? That's the end of the first little section. And the verse has just popped up on the screen. Look at that. Brilliant. That's the end of our first section. We've got two more little sections. But after this song, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. Now, kids, you might not be able to get hold of this whole song, but the chorus goes like this. Hear the heavens shout, "Worthy is the Lamb. All creation bows, giving glory to the Lamb." That's a verse. The chorus is repeated a few times. So if you struggle to get hold of the verses, don't worry, because we're going to be repeating the chorus lots. All right? Okay, so let's all stand together and sing "Come Hear the Angels Sing." I'm looking at the back to Mr. Joel. Are we all good? Okay, we're going to have a go at this. Now, let me set this up first of all. We've seen the problem, okay? We've heard that the problem is that tears come by us and that tears come from us. And if we stopped there, it would be really depressing, wouldn't it? Okay? We're not going to stop there. If we stopped there, it would be the worst story ever, wouldn't it? Right? Listen to this. This is probably the worst story ever, and it would be even worse than this. This is the dad's story from one of my favorite films called The Croods. This is his story, okay? And let me just quickly play this for you.
Tonight we'll hear the story of Crispy Bear. A long time ago, this little bear was alive because she listened to her father, so she was happy. But Crispy had one terrible problem. She was filled with curiosity. Yes. And one day, she saw something new and died.
Just like that?
Yes.
Same ending as every day.
I get it, Dad. I will never do anything new or different.
Good man, Thunk.
Okay, that would be... That's it, isn't it? You know, if we stop there, the worst story ever, everybody dies and that's it. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? But that's not the end. That's not the end. And we were just singing about it, weren't we? We were just praying about it. You know, I don't have to do the big reveal here. Most of you know that God has given us a solution. Now we're gonna have a little game now, okay? And it's gonna lead us into what we're talking about. Have you got your little flyers? Have you worked it out yet? Who can show me a lion? All right, lovely, brilliant. Hand. I know I'm probably breaking the cardinal rule here of talks, getting adults to participate, but if you're up for it, get involved. We're gonna have some videos hopefully play. And what I need you to do is, so here we go. You're fired. Who likes that show? You're fired, right? If you don't like, if you like The Apprentice, you'll like You're Fired, or you should. At the end of the show, they say they hold up hired or they hold up fired, okay? This is a little bit of like that, right? So a video is going to come on the screen, and what you need to do is vote lion or lamb, okay? It's really simple. So I'm going to ask you to hold up lion or lamb. It's just a guess. It's a blind guess. And we'll see if you're right. And let's see if someone in the room can get them all right. There's like 9 of them. We'll do as many as we can. But right, here we go. Here's the first one. Lion or lamb? Right, hold them up before we play it. Lion or lamb? I'm seeing lots of lambs. Oh, poor Rob. Lots of lambs. Any lions in the room? Oh, sorry, do you know what? I've given you no time to do this, have I? You got to fold it over. Come on. Let's do it. Fold it over. It is hard, but stop moaning. Right. So, bend them both ways. You got your lion. How are we doing? Okay. All right. So here we go. It's not Robbie. That was a bit of a... That comes later. So first of all, first picture. Ready? What's it going to be? Reveal, what is it? No, hold on. Up in the air. No, this one. Lamb, lion, lamb. Okay, you know what you've held up, okay? Let's play it. Let's see if this all crashes and goes up in flames. Good old Microsoft. Oh, buffering. Okay. All right, we will give it 20 seconds. Oh, here we go. What is it? Yeah, who held up lion? Okay, brilliant. Let's have another one. You're just waiting for the thing to come up. Come on. Oh! Got ya. Got ya. Next one, anyone?
Oh. Me.
No.
Me.
What is it? Poor... You got to see that one again. Come on.
Me. Me. Me.
All right. Number four. Hold up. What are you going to have? Lamb. I see a lamb. I see a lamb. I see a lamb. I see lots of lambs. All right. You're just playing the odds, aren't you? Ooh, what is it? Whoa. All right. One more. Lion or lamb? Lion's at the back. Very good. Oh, lion. Hey! Oh, well. Now. Okay. So. So what's the solution to our problem? How does the passage that we're looking at, how do the dots connect? Look at verse 5. Verse 5 is going to hopefully appear on the screen. In verse 5, someone comes up to John and says, "Stop crying. Look, there's been a victory." And he points and he says, "Look, the Lion of Judah has triumphed. We found a hero. One who is worthy to take on the mission." Now, imagine you're John and there you are. Your t-shirt is wet because you've been crying so much. And some bloke comes up to you and says, "You don't have to cry anymore because look, there's a lion." I wonder how many of you are going to stop crying at that point. Maybe you would stop crying because everything stopped. You've frozen with fear. Or maybe you'd be like a puff of smoke because you've gone like Usain Bolt. But what does John do? He doesn't run and he doesn't freeze with fear. And do you know why? Here's why. And we're going to connect another dot. We got verse 6 that comes straight after. Look what verse 6 says. "Then I saw," John speaking here, "then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne." It's because he looks in the direction of the triumphant Lion of Judah and sees a lamb that looks like he's been slain, looks like he's been killed. But it's not laying there dead in a heap. It's standing. And then, verse 7 says, "He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne." He's taken on God's mission. And that's why John can stop crying. Because there is hope. It must have felt like a long time for John, do you reckon? When you are sad, time does go slower, doesn't it? When you're happy and you're enjoying yourself, it goes like a flash. It's just that's the way things are. But how long was it? Let me ask you older people, adults, maybe those who are retired. Are you feeling like it's been a long time? And it's been hard. Your life, life can either be a struggle, can't it? Because we struggle with sin, with our own sin, or it can be a struggle because we've been hurt. And while there might be some joy in our lives, tears continue. That what I was saying earlier on. Death seems to win. It might tears might continue to the very end. But the Christian message, the message of hope is that it will stop there. And it might even stop sooner if Jesus returns. And a glory awaits us. And that's what the Lamb has done. That's what the Lamb has secured for us. The Narnia story starts like this, doesn't it? Narnia is a land that's always winter but never Christmas. Can you imagine that? Who knows how many days that there are until Christmas? Who can tell me? top of their head. Have a guess. Nathan, have a guess. How many days till Christmas, mate? 62? Wrong. 39? Almost. I counted 38. Well done. Okay. What was you going to say, Weezer? 80? God, I don't want to be in your Christmas. We've been waiting ages. No, we love Christmas, don't we? Because we don't mind waiting 30 or 40 days for it. Imagine you had to wait 400 years. That's where Narnia is, and that's where the Old Testament is. The story goes, it's one disaster after another. The people of God, they turn from God because the problem of evil is not just out there, it's inside here. But God provides a way for them to say sorry. He provides the sacrifice, the lamb, to stand in their place. God promises to send a rescuer. And at the end of the Old Testament, there's 400 years of silence. That's what was it? 146,000 days that God doesn't speak. There's no revelation from God. And then, a baby is born. Then hope comes. In the line of David, a kingly line that goes all the way back to Jacob's family and Judah. And this is who we see in John's vision this morning. This is Jesus, the Lion Lamb. He's slain, but he's forever standing before the throne for us. He's the hero that we so desperately need, isn't he? And he's not a fairy tale. He's not just some story, you know, a comic book character. He's real. That's the amazing thing. And he can right all wrongs without consuming us because he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Yeah? The lion has conquered. This is what your little sheet says. The lion has conquered death for us because the lamb has given his life for us. He's dealt with the problem of our tears. Yeah? The tears that come because of us. He's dealt with that. And he's dealt with the problem of tears that come from us. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's something to sing about. Something to sing about. And that's what we're going to do again now. We're going to sing a song called You're the Lion of Judah, You're the Lamb that was slain. So as the band comes, let's stand to sing. Who wants another go at that game? Who thinks they can do a better job this time? Okay. Let's have a few more videos. Get your lambs ready. I want to see them high. What are you voting? Hired or fired? Lamb or lion? Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. Let's see. Sounded like a dolphin, didn't it? No dolphin on this one. What's next? Up. Lion or lamb? What is it? Whoa. Everyone went lion. Okay, last one. Well, I don't know if this is the last one. Second to last. Lion or lamb? Lamb, lion. Yeah. All right. Brilliant. Has anyone got all of them right yet? No. Okay. Okay, who's got... Who's got two right? Who got three right? Four? Five? Okay, let's see the last one, shall we? Hands up. Lion or lamb?
Do it. What's...
Is anyone surprised? No. Right. Okay. Okay, so... We've seen this. We've been with John, haven't we? We've seen his tears. Maybe we've cried with him. But we've looked because the angel has said, "Look, the Lion of Judah has triumphed." And he looks and he sees a lamb, and this lamb takes the mission. And when he does take the mission, look at the response of heaven. Every creature in heaven and all of God's people have a massive celebration. The picture that we get here. It says the elders and all of creation. It's kind of like what we've got right here, yeah? They sing a song. And it's a new song. It's never been sung before. And new songs were normally only sang to God in the Old Testament. And here they are, all of creation, singing the same song to Jesus. And he says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Why? Why are you worthy? Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And here's what this all means. Here's why it's good news for us if we'll listen and respond. We have a king, we have a hero, the Lion of Judah, and he is the Lamb who was slain. Our hero doesn't conquer by being having superpowers. He conquers death and he conquers sin by laying down his life. He gives himself as a sacrifice, a substitute for us. He's powerful and strong. He's noble and true. He's the one that can sort out all of the mess that we make. He's the one that can put the world to rights, and he can put the world to rights and not crush us and not judge us, which is what we deserve. He's beaten sin and death by dying in our place. And that's what Lewis says, isn't he? He writes about the stone table. The cross of Jesus Christ is the real stone table. He's the rightful king who has won the decisive battle by being a willing sacrifice. So, what are we going to do with this today? How is this going to help us in our lives? Well, hopefully it will help you as you think about the next time you make someone cry. You know, maybe it will help you to see actually it's wrong. I'm a sinner. And I need to ask Jesus for forgiveness, because one day he's going to put the world to rights. And I don't want to be put to rights by Jesus. I don't want to be judged. I want to be forgiven and rescued. Maybe it can help you the next time that tears come from your eyes because you're sad or because something terrible has happened. Remember that Jesus, who, by the way, also cried many, many tears. He knows what you're going through. He cried tears. And the amazing thing is, he never made anyone cry. He was spotless, perfect. This is the Jesus who is our rescuer. This is the Jesus who is our King and our Savior and our Lord. Why would you not follow this Jesus this morning? Why would you not say to yourself, "Yeah, I really do like heroes," and looking around, there's people that do good things, but there's no hero that can help me out of my predicament. But Jesus is the one who can. He can help us. He has come to rescue us. He's laid his life down for us. Now we're going to sing a song in just a minute, and it's amazing. Jesus, it's a song all about Jesus as the King and all the things, lots of things he did when he was walking the earth. But let's just take a moment now to be quiet and to think about what we've learnt this morning and how we might respond. Take a moment to talk to Jesus in the quietness, and I'll lead us in a prayer in just a couple of minutes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can talk to you this morning because you're alive. You are in heaven. You're at the throne. You're standing. And yet you have the scars on your hands. You have the marks of a crucified man. And those marks are for us. We thank you that you are our hero, our rescuer. Please, Lord, help us to make you our only hero, the real hero, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that you never made anyone cry, that you never sinned, that you're perfect. And that's why you could die on the cross and pay for our sin. And we thank you also, Lord, that you didn't just stay in heaven and, you know, like a general in a war and sort things out from up there. But you came into our world and you cried tears. You cried tears for your people, your friends, and you cried tears for your enemies. Lord, we thank you that you, by your death and resurrection, you can wipe away all of our tears. And we pray that you would help us as we live this life. Help us to know that crying because of sadness is okay, but that one day you will wipe them away. So please help us, Lord, to make you our Lord and our King and our Saviour. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.